I want you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Let's just read from the pen of the Apostle Paul what he said about having the mind of Christ. One of the things that he said about it. And although he doesn't use that terminology in this text, he talks about knowing Him. And so that's what I'm going to talk about. Knowing Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, He humbled Himself by coming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, and therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Christ of the glory of the Father." That's the Jesus we want to know. So Paul wrote in chapter 3, and in beginning in verse 7 of Philippians, "Whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Two different times, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, he mentions early in that text, and then, "that I may know Him." I want to tell you, it's more than just knowing things about Christ. And we hear people, I was thinking, before I got up, I have in my garage some shelving that's just full of, I don't know how many, a dozen, 18 boxes of books from my library, because I don't have room for all of them in my little office there. And most of those books have something to do with who Jesus is and about Jesus. And that's just a smattering, just a fraction of the myriad of volumes that have been written over the years about Jesus. And there are all kinds of things written about Jesus. Some of them are true and good and valuable. Some of them are not true and misrepresent the Word of God. But if you're going to know Jesus, you're going to have to know what He said, and you're going to have to know what those that He told, Paul being one born out of due time, but the ones He told, "I'm going to send another Comforter to you, the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll tell you things that you can't bear to hear from me right now. He'll tell you those things. And you in turn will go out into all the world and preach repentance and remission of sins, beginning at Jerusalem." Now, I'm putting several texts together there. I hope you understand that. And so He sent them out on what we call the Great Commission, to preach Jesus. We don't go and preach Church of Christ. We go preach Jesus. That's what we preach. That's who we follow. He's our King. And we need to be aware of some of the warnings that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So it's not just knowing about Jesus, it's knowing Jesus. And we can't say that we know Jesus and ignore what He has to say to us. We just simply can't do that. And so our lives need to be formed and conformed to Jesus' way of thinking. And if that's not the case, then we don't know Him. We may claim to know Him, but we don't know Him. Oh, we may know about Jesus, but we don't know Him. I mentioned to you that I had a front yard discussion / debate with a man from the Jehovah's Witnesses who came, got some literature and everything. And I had to tell him, "Look, let's just cut to the chase. It's about Jesus. You don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God." "Oh, yes, we do too." "But you don't believe He was God. And so your translation, the New World Translation, kind of changes John chapter 1, doesn't it? Let me tell you, if you don't know who Jesus is, then you don't know anything that matters with regard to religion. You can know all about Jesus historically, but if you don't know Him, know what about Him? Know what He said and what others who were inspired said about Him. So faith doesn't come by hearing, as my friend D. Bowman used to say, about hearing things about God or about the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so we want to come to know Jesus. We want to come to know Him in this next year better than we've ever known Him before. I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm kind of excited about that. I want to go through this whole study again. It's never old. It's never boring. It's always important and exciting. Jesus prayed to God, John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. Jesus spoke these things and lifted up His eyes to heaven. He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You. Even as You gave Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom You have given Him, He may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You've sent." You want to have eternal life? You got to come to know Jesus and His Father God. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we've come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. The one who says, 'I've come to know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we're in Him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as He walked." You can't know how Jesus walked if you don't read how Jesus walked. And therefore we read the Gospels in this next year. Not just read them, but pray about them. Ask God for insight and understanding. Talk about it between ourselves. Encourage one another to live the life that Jesus wanted us to live and wants us to live today. I'll kind of pull a passage out of context in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Actually, it is in the context. I'll take a minute just to tell you that context, and that is this. That in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul describes his preaching, the source of his preaching. And he says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." But he goes on to say, "But the Spirit has revealed them." The Spirit has revealed them. These things we speak in not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so Paul would argue in Galatians chapters 1 and 2 that his preaching, his teaching, didn't come from men, but it came by revelation. And he's talking about full verbal inspiration, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then down toward the end of that, in verse 16, he says, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We have His mind. We have it revealed to us. Everything that He wanted us to know, He has revealed, and we have it recorded for us in His Word and in the Word of His followers who were inspired. God breathed Scripture so that we can know what God wants from us. We can know Jesus. We can know the power of Jesus. We can be conformed to His image. We can enjoy the resurrection. And we can yield to His authority. Before Pilate, Jesus said, "You call me king, and so I am. I was born for this reason. I'm the king." Peter confessed, "Thou art the Christ." You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter preached on Pentecost, "This same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." The Messiah, the Christ, was to be king, sit on David's throne, ruling His people. Does the name S.M. Lockridge ring a bell to anybody? S.M. Lockridge. Perhaps you have seen the YouTube video of this man who is a preacher. It's become really famous. There's even a hip-hop rendition of this, believe it or not, of his, probably his most famous sermon. And I want to read an excerpt of that for you. I don't know that I can do it with the flair that Mr. Lockridge had, but I want to read it to you. And it's entitled, "That's My King." The Bible says my King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings and He's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know Him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define. He's limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled, unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder, do you know Him today? He supplies strength to the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He beautifies the meek. I wonder, do you know Him? He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know Him? Well, His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him, yet He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get Him out of your mind and you can't get Him off your hand. You can't outlive Him and you can't live without Him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't handle Him and the grave couldn't hold Him. Yeah, that's my King. I wonder, do you know Him today? We want to come to know Jesus better this year than we have in the past. To encourage one another to be His followers, His faithful followers. If you're here this morning, you owe a duty to God in any way. We would invite you. Obey the gospel of Christ. If we can help you in any other way, you come and we'll be down at the front.